Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
I always think it's interesting, the open line that you just heard. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights. It sounds like high-caliber millwrights built the PacWest Center. Might need to tweak that. Maybe they did build it. I don't know who built this building. I think building a building is a pretty impressive thing. I would think if you are somebody who builds buildings, this would be a fine building that you'd want to build.
Oh, I thought building a building was no different than putting together an IKEA furniture.
No, it isn't. It's a big deal. Mike Leach, Washington State football coach, is with us. He has spent some time in this fair city and in the state of Oregon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. At the end of my day, I don't have anything to show for it. Like, if I write a column, it's gone. It evaporates. Radio show evaporates. As a football coach, do you feel like you have something to show for your work, like a guy who builds a building?
You struggle with it a little bit. I think that, you wonder because one season to the next, I mean, people will forget about some awfully good seasons awfully fast. And then the other thing, if you really challenge yourself, I'll tell you straight out that I can't do it. But if I were to say to you, even as close as, say, 4 years ago, this year, who won the national championship and who won the Super Bowl? I mean, a lot of people would be very hard-pressed to do it because there's a temporary quality that exists, and that's the excitement of sports because it allows you to move on to other things, other exciting moments that you get to embrace. And so I think it's one of its virtues also. Our stuff does stick on film, and then people archive it and go dig around and copy something, and we'll even resurrect stuff we did 10 years ago, so that brings kind of temporary life to it. I think, though, that I've always thought this about, some of the anti-sports people say, well, it's just a game, it's just a game. Well, it's a little more important than a game, okay? We're not curing cancer, I'll be the first to tell you that, okay? But it is more important than a game. And the reason it's more important than a game, and you can say, well, it builds strong people and they get degrees and they go in and have great careers, live fulfilling lives, and potentially make more strong people that will hopefully do the same. But what I think that the biggest thing that sports has contributed is it brings people together. It's done more for civil rights than any group of politicians combined. All the politicians combined. Let's just start with that, and then. The other thing is, as people are, things are going good in their lives, it rallies people together to celebrate. If things are going bad in their lives, it rallies people together and uplifts them. So I do think it's significantly more important than a game, but I'll be the first to tell you that there's plenty of things that are more important. Like, for example, you never hear me make war comparisons because I think comparing football to war is disrespectful to war because I think we're quite a bunch of notches below that. But I do happen to know a lot of Navy SEALs. They'd let me watch them train and all that. And I do know this, and they talk about this, you know, when there's some tough situation, some tough time, they got to leave their family. Sports does have a unifying and an uplifting effect on them.
When you see a Navy SEAL train, are they working harder than a hardworking football player, or is it a different kind of training?
It's a different kind of training. It's It's longer distance. They're smaller guys. It's a very versatile level of training. Like, for example, you know, they swim, they run, they climb all kinds of stuff. They have the skill to dive off of things, parachute off of things, and, of course, shoot an M16 pretty good or whatever they're shooting at it. But just the skill and teamwork, and it is a team effort, too. And there is just unlimited teamwork involved with it. And yeah, they're kind of – I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I guess kind of a decathlete quality, but generally speaking, smaller than you would think, and in crazy good shape, crazy good shape. An example would be kind of if anybody knows anything about surfing, I mean, everybody thinks they're these casual Jeff Spicoli kind of guys. A really good surfer is in tremendous shape. Maybe a bull rider with more road work, you know.
Mike Leach, Washington State football coach, is with us. We were talking earlier about handshakes. You judge people on handshakes? Because when I shake someone's hand, I can't help but make a judgment.
Oh, I do. I do a little bit. I don't hold it against them, but it's like it goes in their file. No, it definitely goes in their file. I mean, there's some people that I really like that have the utmost integrity that have some really pitiful handshakes, and there's some, you know, some real phonies that have good ones. But I'll be honest, it goes in their file. You know, coming from Wyoming, I mean, we were fairly obsessive on handshakes. You had to have a good handshaker. I mean, you'd get critiqued on the spot there. It wasn't like you just sort of slip away. I mean, the other guy would let you know, and he would offer pointers on the thing, too.
I had Joey Chestnut, the world champion eater, in studio one time, and I shook his hand, and I went, oh, not a champion.
I don't know, you know, because different places, I hate where they only give you half a hand, and guys with small hands or weak hands will do that a lot. They give you half a hand so they can slip that sucker out of there before you mash it. And, even though I'm not that big of a guy, certainly by football standards, I do have pretty big hands. And especially if I don't like a guy, I'll try to get my money's worth in.
Mike Leach, Washington State coach, is with us. All right, so you got a conference. It's got a bunch of new head coaches. I feel like there are better play callers in the conference right now. Am I crazy for saying that? Like with you and I think Chip Kelly calls a good game. Who else calls a good game? When you think about guys who call a good game.
Well, a lot of head coaches aren't calling the plays. You know, that's something that most head coaches honestly don't do.
Yeah.
So then it's coordinators, and then depending the input that the head coaches have, that varies, you know. But I do know that Chip's definitely involved in the offense.
How about you? How involved do you like to be, or is that a matter of if you had a guy that you thought could think just like you, could you step away, or would you always want to be involved?
I'd always want to be involved. I'm very involved. So I coach the quarterbacks and coordinate and call the plays, and always have. And, you know, the thing about it is you get into football to coach, and that's why you got in the first place. And then all of a sudden, you know, if you elevate in the profession, you don't get a coach anymore. That's never made sense to me. Also, I think you can your staff a little bit if you have another quality coach, if you're worth if you're any good yourself. And then I think that the other thing that's really been beneficial to me is I've had a lot of people have kind of, you know, wanted to adopt our offense or adopt some of the stuff, and we've had some success. And so a lot of my guys have gotten hired. And, you know, by me being involved in the offense and running the offense, well, then there's less of a ripple effect. There's less of a transition. There's less of a, you know, all of a sudden the philosophy, everything stays the same. So it's been a lot more seamless as I've, you know, incorporated new coaches as guys have gone on to, you know, to more elevated positions and things in most cases. Some of them you kind of want to lose by attrition and stuff.
Yeah, I've always...
You know, but most of them have elevated and left and stuff like that. And I've been fortunate. In my entire career, I've only fired four guys, which, you know, there's guys that will do that each year.
Yeah. Are you good at that when you have to have that conversation? You're like, hey, it's not working out. Or does it have to reach the point where it's like apparent to everyone that this isn't working?
Well, I think that I can't say anyone was ever stunned. Maybe the timing. And sometimes it's just a difference in philosophy. Sometimes a guy's lazy and just doesn't want to coach anyway. Sometimes a guy ought to retire and is just hanging on. You know, and sometimes the guy just doesn't play nice with others, you know.
Yeah. I think it would be interesting to me because it's such a big group now when you look at coaching staffs. It's not like it's four guys. You know, you're that's a big group. How do you keep that thing moving in the same direction? How much? Because you're worried about your roster and managing your locker room, and then you got to manage a coaching staff as well.
Yeah, well, that stuff's nuts. I mean, it's a nuisance to hire coaches, no doubt, because you gotta make the right decisions, and there's definitely good ones. And the thing is, you know, there's some really bad coaches that present well, and some really good ones that don't. And the thing is it's kind of tedious. I always try to look at their body of work, you know, I guess it's the management, the all the extra stuff, you know, the extra stuff. And I got, you know, you want to have a good guy helping you out, you know, a couple good guys helping you out that work the back room and keep some of the administrative stuff off you, you know.
Mike,
but I will say this: when you as a head coach, you know, practice is your sanctuary. That's the best part of the day.
Mike Leach is with us, Washington State football coach. Where's the strength of this team? You've had a chance to see him practice a little. What do you feel really good about?
We had a really competitive offseason, so we're really competitive. And so I think we're making up for some of our lack of experience just by, you know, just by being a competitive group. We got nearly all of our receivers back. Got nearly most of our secondary back. And I don't think our other guys are bad at all. I mean, some are going to be better than the guys they replaced. And they've been around here for a year or two, and the outside hasn't seen them. But internally, we feel pretty good about them.
You get people look at you on offense and they'll say, gosh, you'll throw the ball 70 times a game. It doesn't matter. I kind of just feel like you call the game, you go with what's working, don't you? And if you see an advantage, you go to it until they stop it. Is it that simple?
You know, it's not nearly as complicated as people think. I wish it was that simple. It's not quite that simple, but it's headed that direction. I mean, if you look at the last Super Bowl, that's essentially what the Eagles and the Patriots did.
What about Brady at the end of the game? All this stuff on Thursday night is about Brady didn't shake Foles' hand. I think that's so overdone. Why don't we ask the offensive linemen to shake hands? Why are the quarterbacks and the head coaches the only ones that everybody's watching to shake hands?
I don't know, but the thing is, I'm sure Foles was pretty excited, you know, and sometimes you get caught up in the moment. But I think you know, with all this political correctness circling around and all that stuff, I mean, there's a lot of sin counting going on out there. And, you know, everybody's micromanaging the fouls, you know, where, you know, there's a point to where it gets ridiculous. And I may be wrong, but I'm optimistic that people will be tired, get tired of being offended all the time. You know, it's my hope that they'll move on and stuff will be a little more fulfilling than being offended all the time. And I mean, some of these things people are getting offended about, it really takes a microscope to figure out what exactly there is. I mean, after hours of analysis, finally somebody discovers something to be pissed about. And I think it's counterproductive, but hopefully it'll get tedious enough that people get tired of it.
You've got non-conference Wyoming, San Jose State, Eastern Washington. You open Pac-12 against USC. What do you need in those first three games to get you where you want to be in the conference play?
Most important thing is just get better every day. You know, get better every day. I mean, obviously, we want to win those games, but, you know, it's all a byproduct of just steady improvement. Got to steadily improve, then meet the challenge of the game. Learn what you can from that game, steadily improve, meet the challenge of the next one. And so it goes, and it goes the same way throughout conference, too.
Coach, really appreciate you making time for us. I know your daughter, she lived in the Portland area, and so you were here a lot. You're not coming back anymore? You recruit this area?
Well, I come down there a couple times a year, you know, recruiting, and then we do the night with Cougar football in Vancouver. My daughter, Kim, and her husband, Sam, they moved to Oklahoma because he got a master's degree from the University of Oklahoma. And then they put him on, and so she's teaching elementary ed down there. So they got both oars in the water there in Norman, Oklahoma. So,
well, we'll still look for the best pizza place in Portland. We'll see if we can figure that out for you.
Portland, if it's open, it's pretty darn good from my experience. And but we do need to hit the top rung, the top of the heap. We got to sort that.
All right, Coach. We wish you the best, and I will see you down the road.
All right, Bubba. Great talking to you.
You too. There's Mike Leach, Washington State football coach, in a meandering conversation. That's the best way I could describe it. It's meandering. Leave it right here. Punch It Audio. Then the College Football Matrix. Plus, David Lucas, son of Maurice Lucas, stopping by. Dave Barchu, College Football Matrix. We'll talk some recruiting with him. If you missed Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks football coach, or Mike Leach, Washington State coach, make sure you grab the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. Search for the Bald Faced Truth radio show and let it rip. Let's play Punch It.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio,
presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Let's start with Mario Cristobal, Oregon Ducks' first-year head coach. I asked him, I said, look, your recruits, you're in a new territory. You got some size out there. Here's what Cristobal had to say about that. Punch it.
I had a really good mentor that last place I was at before coming over, and he always used to tell me, you know why they have weight divisions in boxing? And I said, why? He said, so the big guy doesn't completely annihilate the little guy. So bring me big guys. Because of that philosophy, I think it's something that, you know, it's trending. I know, again, we take players all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, but big guys are evident. I mean, their offensive line, bigger, more physical. It gives you an idea of where Cristobal is going to take this thing. Because I think ultimately it always comes down to This is a physical game. Big guys will push little guys around. And Mario Cristobal was one of those big guys on the offensive line at Miami and then recruiting and coaching offensive linemen when he was at Alabama. He's talking about Nick Saban in Alabama. Do you buy, though, that Oregon can consistently compete for the kind of recruit that Alabama is landing? Do you buy that with the SEC out there playing the same game, that Oregon can become an Alabama Northwest under Mario Cristobal? Because I think that's what he's going to try to do. Get bigger, more physical. The blueprint's out there. Paul Feinbaum was on the Dan Patrick Show talking about the mess at Ohio State, Urban Meyer, under investigation. What's going to happen? Feinbaum weighed in. Punch it.
Trying to get a good measure of that fan base who just doesn't seem to have any desire to try to get to the truth here or to believe the other side. And that's the most confusing part of this. And I suspect the six-person committee is hearing the same things that we have all heard. And it really has come down, unfortunately, to a he said, she said.
He said, she said. But at stake for Urban Meyer and at issue maybe for Ohio State isn't just what did Urban Meyer know and when did he know it? There are some questions wrapped up in this thing. If Urban Meyer did in fact follow law as a mandatory reporter and pass along the information to his superior, as Joe Paterno did at Penn State, was he under any obligation then to follow up and go, hey, why has this guy not been fired? He's still working for me. I mean, it's just an issue of decency that's at the core of this for Urban Meyer. If I'm on that committee at Ohio State, if I am one of the trustees, I'm looking left, I'm looking right, and I'm going, hey, we are the Ohio State University. We are bigger than Urban Meyer. We are bigger than Jim Tressel. We will be bigger tomorrow, and we were bigger yesterday. I don't think Ohio State needs him. Feinbaum says they're going to keep him. Ndamukong Suh, Portland kid, he's still angry. Listen to this. He went second overall in the draft, by the way, out of Nebraska. Punch it.
So wait, so you still have a chip on your shoulder for not going number one? Because you've accomplished so much in your career, but you still think about that?
Without question. It's my competitive nature.
I like that.
I like being number one in everything, and he stole that one away from me.
Why do you hate quarterbacks?
Pretty boys. They get all the credit. And at the end of the day, I mean, they're the guys I got. That's my job to go take them down. So people are in my way to accomplish what I want to do. I have a very passionate mindset of taking them out.
Does it with a passion. By the way, quarterbacks that he hates, Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford went number one in that draft. Aaron Rodgers, also a guy he doesn't particularly care for. I think it's part of the makeup and the personality of a great defensive tackle in the NFL. I think you've got to be, people have to be afraid of you. They have to think you're a little bit unhinged. I had a chance to sit down one-on-one with Ndamukong Suh. We had him on this radio show. I found him to be a pleasant, reasonable, well-adjusted guy. But then again, I'm not down on the other side of the ball trying to block him. Or running with the football. Worse yet. I think he's playing into it a little bit here, isn't he? Daryl Morey. He is the general manager of the Houston Rockets. He talks about adding Carmelo Anthony. What's that mindset about? Punch it.
We're really only focused on one thing at this point. We've got a bunch of veteran guys trying to win a ring. And, you know, the thing that worked last year is everyone was willing to do whatever coach thought was best. And that's what got us to 65 wins and, you know, a hamstring away, I think, of winning it last year.
Carmelo Anthony, officially a Rocket this week. 34 years old. He got a one-year, $2.4 million deal. And by the way, if you're a Blazer fan, this has to be making you mad and mad and mad. CJ McCollum, I don't blame him for being angry. Because you're watching guys who are taking less money and they're just stacking it up going, hey, I want a ring. It's not in the spirit of competition, is it? John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, has a vote in the AP poll. He put Oregon at number 9 in his preseason poll, and he came on this show yesterday to explain it.
Certainly, if you've got an elite quarterback and you've got a favorable schedule and you've got, what, 4 returning starters on the offensive line and a good defense, that's a pretty good model right there for a sleeper pick, and that's what I saw with Oregon.
Yeah, and look, it all lines up. And plus, by the way, preseason polls, they don't matter. Pick some sleepers. Central Florida wasn't even ranked, did not even get a vote in last year's preseason poll. And all Scott Frost did was go undefeated. Mariners A's, big pitching matchup with James Paxton on the mound for the M's last night. Punch it.
And the 2-1 on the way to Lowry, swung on line drive right back at Paxton off his side. The ball rolls to the first baseline, picked up by Mike Zunino, and Paxton is hurt.
Hit him on the forearm. He's on the DL with a forearm contusion. Also, the Mariners lost the game 3-2. Mariners will be without their star left-hander for an undetermined amount of time. Paxton, by the way, 10-5 with a 3.68 ERA in 24 starts. Mariners have recalled right-hander Christian Bergman from AAA Tacoma to fill that roster spot. The A's still only drawing 17,000. They have the 28th attendance in Major League Baseball. That's Punch It Audio. Coming up, David Lucas is going to stop by. Also, I don't know, were you listening to yesterday's show? I have a little inside story on yesterday's show that I'll share coming up. Plus, Dave Bartu, the College Football Matrix, also a consultant to head coaches and ADs, and a friend of this show will be with us.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.